want to thank this dear church for letting me come, for the hotel room, for the meals, for the love, that everyone is so sweet in North Carolina. I'm going to come here and live if I ever get booted out of Mississippi. Y'all are the sweetest people. And for all the sweet gifts, I'm just forever thankful, forever thankful. And thank you to those that came to me and said it was a help, what I shared earlier. It's not easy sometimes to talk. My mother, I meant to say this, she's got the best sense of humor. And one time we were taking a trip, I love to take her places. And my dad died when he was 52, very young, yeah. You know, I think. And so she's been a widow all these years. And anyway, so one time she and I were on a trip, and we were talking about something. I know what we're talking about. When my dad, he would never get anything fixed. He just doctor it up. Like, our air conditioner went out one time, and he got some gum and put it on the back of a, anyway. And so we were talking about that, and our TV went out. Remember when you have to change the channel? Some of y'all don't remember that. You just have to change the channel changer came off, so he just stuck a screwdriver. Yep. Y'all did that too? Yay! Well, maybe it wasn't that bad of an idea. You kept the screwdriver on top so you could put it in there and turn the channels. Yes, see? If y'all didn't do it, you didn't know it was in style. But we were talking about that, and then we got to talking about something about my dad, and she said, you know what, we just need to think about the good times. And I said, you're right, Mother. Just think about the positive things. You know, he wouldn't get our car fixed. We'd drive around with gallons of water in the back seat in case it got hot. We'd stop and pour water in the radiator. What's all those jugs? Oh, we're thirsty at our house. But anyway, I thank you for telling me that it was an encouragement, but you just have to think about the good. You know, you just can't dwell on the bad, or we just all be sad all the time. But right. It's been an honor to be here, Miss Winnie. That's what I just said. Thank you for letting me come, and thank you for the meals and the room and the time and fighting the traffic like you did. Very, very thankful. Okay. I wanted to read something kind of funny to you today. I heard about, in fact, this could have happened this morning when I was walking down the hall. I heard someone praying, Dear Lord, so far today, I've done well. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't been greedy or grumpy or selfish. I'm very thankful for that. But in a few minutes, Lord, I'm going to get out of bed. And from then on, I'm going to need a lot more help. Isn't that true? They would just pray, no problems, because they hadn't got out of bed. They hadn't done one thing wrong. But the minute that you start to put your feet on the floor, that's when it all comes back and starts happening to you. You know, I don't know if I was talking to somebody here or just recently. I guess I referred to it earlier, how you feel as young as you did when you were younger. But the outside, this is the funniest thing. I'm going to watch my time. By the way, if you want a comedy show, go to the airport. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Whew. Bob, let me tell you this. Has anyone been in Atlanta Airport lately? Okay, they must have done some remodeling since I was in there, because you in the restroom, you don't, they have green lights and red lights. What? Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Above the, outside the stall door, so you don't walk in on somebody. But my problem was, I started to go in a green, but I could see a lady was in there, and then the lady was the attendant. I started to say, does red mean go, stop, whatever, but I figured it out. Green means it's open. There's nobody in there. Then when you get in there, they've got this little thing next to you, and if you wave your hand, said, do you want a beautiful fragrance smell in the stall? And you wave your arm, hand through it, and this burst of beautiful, I'm not kidding. And look, we're all ladies in here, I guess. I was just sitting there going, to see if it really worked. Because I smelled it, and it did. It works. They did not have that a few months ago. So if you go there, the green and red lights are outside the stalls, and that fragrant thing, I don't know what it is, but anyway. But what I was getting at is you feel young in your heart, and you know, a friend of mine, this is what I was going to tell you, it's funny, it has nothing to do with this lesson, but a friend of mine is a beautician, and this is several years ago, she was washing my hair, or she was going to cut my hair or something, and And she was leaned over, and she said, Kim. And I said, yes. And she said, her name's Pat. I said, yeah, Pat. And she said, what does my face look while I'm hanging over, when I'm doing like this? And she was whispering. I said, what? And she said, what does my face look like when I lean over you like this? I'm very... And I did what y'all did. I fell out laughing. And I said, what do you mean? She said, well, the other day at home, I dropped something. I dropped my mirror. And she said, I went to pick it up. And when I looked in the mirror, everything fell. It just fell. I had never even thought about that before. She said, so what does it look like? And I said, I just couldn't quit laughing. I just kept laughing, laughing. But as soon as I got home, what do you think I did? Have y'all ever done that? It's scary. It is horrible. My mother never told me that would happen. I mean, it's all just loose. It's just loose. And it just goes forward. She said, I just know I look like a monster. And I didn't want to say, yeah, you do. I mean, it looks, y'all are all going to try it. Do it. And if it doesn't, then that means you're still very youthful. But if it moves, this way. And so about 3 or 4 months after that, I happened to see on QVC.
Oh yeah.
They had this thing. I was speaking at a ladies' meeting, and one of the ladies came to me afterwards and she said, I bought that too. It's this thing that you stick it here. You stick it here. Y'all know I'm talking. You stick it here and you put it around back and then you stick it here. Did you order one? You stick it here and you pull it and it's supposed to do, you know all it did for me? It got tangled all up. It was glue. It got tangled all up. Let me show you what I was doing. Well, then it got tangled. It was the biggest mess. Anyway, I've got the package still at home, but this lady came to me, she said, I ordered the same thing, and she had it in her purse. She brought it with her. But do that trick at home and see if everything falls. It just falls this way. Oh, my. Okay, everybody awake? Okay, good. You know, in the auditorium, if you look around, there's all different kinds of personalities. If you're with a group of ladies from your church. I've taken groups of ladies to conferences, and that's a whole nother story. We had some of the funniest things that ever happened to us. From Mississippi to Hammond, we went to a conference, and it was back in the station wagon days, and redneck station wagon. We put the bags in garbage bags on top of the station wagon. I know. But on the way home, what happened was they all got loose, and I was driving and saw a sock, and I saw a shoe, and clothes, and then we pulled over. It was a nightmare. And then we crammed everything inside on top of this one lady. But we're all different, aren't we? I did. I can see her back there. She was just, you know, the seat's going backwards. She's probably car sick anyway, and then crowded with all that luggage. But we're all different. There's not two of us the same. Even if you have a set of twins, and I met some ladies who have twins, everyone's different. So we all have different personalities. I love the theme. I love your decorations. I've gone over and over. This is gorgeous. I mean, this is beautiful. I don't know why one of y'all didn't take that instead of getting one of those. Those are so cute. But we're all different. And so we're all not going to get along all the time. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit before I have to go. And I hate to have to leave. I hate to have to leave. But let me pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you so much again for these sweet friends that I've met. And Lord, I do pray that you would bless this last session, Lord, that I have, that you would speak to our hearts and help us, Lord, to learn something from you and to go home, Lord, with a new challenge, Lord, when it comes to our time and our personalities getting along with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Luke. And I'm full, y'all. I'm having to breathe, and I'm so good. Luke chapter 10. And it's a very familiar story in the Bible. And I say story, I hate to even say that because it's true. It's a happening that happened in the Bible. Luke chapter 10 and verse number 38. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. Everybody got it? Okay, I'll read it. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered, that's Jesus, into a certain village. And the village was called Bethany. That's not in the Bible. I just added that. A certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about, much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. You know, he didn't holler. He just said it. He just spoke it. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. And this story, this happening in the Bible, we've all heard about. But as I studied it recently, it's amazing to me how when you look at that story or that passage of Scripture, when you really truly look back, Martha and Mary, of course, they were sisters, and Jesus and the disciples, so there were at least 13 people that were passing through Bethany, and I think probably they had been there before. From what I studied, in Martha and Mary, they were not rich people, but they were not poor people, so they had a home big enough for these people to come into. So Jesus and his disciples were passing through, and Martha said, come right in. You know, she welcomed them in to her home. She's very hospitable. Come in the home. And they came in, put their things down, I'm sure. Now think, this is back in Bible days. Jesus goes into probably the living room area and begins to teach or, you know, to talk. And there had a brother named Lazarus. And the whole time I'm reading this story, I thought, where is Lazarus? Certainly he could help Martha too, but he's nowhere to be found. Later, you know, he's resurrected, but he's nowhere in the story. He could have been a help. But anyway, back in Bible days, of course, then Martha, when Jesus comes in, obviously if you've ever had any company, I don't know why Southern people think, but you can't do anything without food. You gotta have food. And we all know that's true. You can't die without food. You get sick. People bring food. That's why it's so hard for couples when they in our church. The only thing they do is go miniature golf, bowling, eat. You know, most of our things are done around food. And so Martha, back in Bible days now, she didn't have a crock pot. She didn't have a microwave. She didn't have any of those things. She didn't have an oven, for heaven's sakes. That's why Lazarus could have built the fire that would have helped Martha. You think about it, where was he? So Martha begins to do all of her serving. She's getting everything ready. And I can imagine she probably looked behind her thinking, okay, Mary, this is what we need to do. We're going to do this. You know, I'll get this ready. You take that out. I'll do this. And she turned around to look, and Mary was nowhere to be found. Mary was in there sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to Jesus talk, listen to the Savior talk. Now, this was just a few weeks, maybe just a month before Christ was about to die on the cross. And so Martha, who's busy, and in a minute I'm going to ask you a question to see how many feel like you're more of a Mary than a Martha, came in there, and I'm sure she looked, get in here. I need your help. I would be doing that. What are you doing? You know, and she probably ignored her. Finally, she could have enough, and she just went in there and told Jesus, Jesus, don't you see? Can you not tell Mary to come in there and help me? I'm just, you know, overly worked. And Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you're cumbered about. The word cumbered, if you have a piece of paper, you can write this down. It means distracted. She was what she was doing was such a good thing. You know, cooking a meal for the Savior. She was getting everything ready, and that's a good thing. But it distracted her from the most important thing. Martha was, I would say she probably overworked. She was an overstressed lady. Mary, I picture her as the sweet spiritual lady. I mean, just precious, very, I know I'm a Martha. And I know when I studied this, God really spoke to my heart. I need more of it. My daughter is Mary through and through. My husband, are y'all married to an opposite? My husband is so opposite from me. Completely. And God knew I needed that in my life. He's a thinker. He thinks. I mean, he's very smart. He's a thinker. He's very quiet. If he's going to say something, you know, you better listen. Because he's just a very quiet man. I can't even picture someone married, if I were married to someone like me, unbelievable. But I'm more of a Martha. I like, let's get it done, you know, where he's very, very wise. But when you think about these two ladies and how different they were growing up in the same home, and either one of them were doing the wrong thing. Martha was not doing the wrong thing. She was doing the right thing. But we can be doing the right thing and for the wrong purpose, and it gets us distracted for the most important thing. On a piece of paper, I want you to answer these questions for me very quickly. I'm going to do it very quick. And this is just a quiz. You're not going to get graded. But we're going to see, just say yes or no to the questions, okay? Number one, do you prefer multitasking over doing one thing until it's done? Would you consider yourself a multitask person? Or would you rather just center, okay, yes or no? Number two, does it bother you when you get behind on your house cleaning? Yes or no? I know y'all left a lot of it at home today, didn't you? Today's your cleaning day. Mm. Number three, when you're given a project to do, do you try to do it to the best, every detail, or just enough to say you did it? Yes or no? The yes or no part is do you do it with all the details? Like, do you want to do it perfectly? Number four, you have to listen to this question. Would you prefer to pick roses and put them in an arrangement neatly, or just stop and smell them? Would you prefer to arrange them neatly over stopping and smelling the roses? You would rather, yes or no? Or is it opposite? Okay. Number five, is it hard for you not to be working on something? Okay. Number six, would you consider yourself a tortoise rather than a hare? Okay, number seven, does it irritate you that others seem to not be as driven as you? Like somebody that was running late this morning to get to church to get here, you know? Where is she at? Number eight, do you pay attention to details? Number nine, do you become impatient when something doesn't get done? There's a lot of yeses I hear. And the last one, is it hard for you to stop and talk to somebody when you're in the middle of doing something? Is it hard for you to stop and talk to somebody? Okay, if you had 0 to 10 yeses, then you're more than likely have a lot of Mary tendency. If you had 11, hold on. No. Let me back up. Sorry. Back up, reverse. If you had 7 to 10 yeses, you're more of a Martha. Okay? If you had less, 6 or less, you probably have more Mary. How many Marys would you say? And both of them are good. Yeah, you could be a combination. You could be, honestly. How many Marthas? Raise your hand. Wow. Martha, Martha. I'm a Martha. I know I'm a Martha. So, if you're a Mary or a Martha, and let me tell you a little bit about Mary. Martha was a very over... like to be getting things done, like to be working. Mary pondered. She saw a need and she wanted to fulfill that need. She knew that the time for Christ to be here was short. she thought about it. You know, I think sometimes, and I was going to say this earlier, or, yeah, I think somebody said it, someone said it earlier, but we speak, ladies, over 20,000 words a day on average. I don't think I was included in that study. So our success throughout the day is not dependent on all the things we say, but it depends upon the fellowship with the Lord that we have and we must have every morning. So very important that we, what the Bible says, is to be still and know that I'm God. So how do you balance it? Because the Bible says, let all things be done decently and in order. And there is a way, and I know the Lord had this for me, because I like details. I like to get things done. I can do, it's amazing. It's almost like a talent where you can have the wash going. You can have the washing machine going, be ironing a shirt. I mean, numerous things at the same time. I can be, you know, and then writing something down, doing a thank you note, some people cannot do that. That would drive them totally nuts. So how can you do that? But I want to have the right relationship with the Lord, because if I don't, all that is not, you know. At the church, it's very easy, even with people that work at the church, pastor's wives or youth pastor's wives or assistant pastors, you get so involved in what the work, you forget the most important thing is the Lord, obviously, your relationship with Him, because it's all going to fall apart if you don't have the right relationship. So how do you balance it all? I was trying to figure out exactly, you know, in Luke 2:52, the Bible talks about how Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God. He was a total balanced man. He was part God and part man, obviously, but he had wisdom, he had stature, he could... If you read throughout the Bible about Christ's life, he could talk to the poorest person and to the richest person. I mean, he was perfect balance. And so there's not a time, we're never going to be perfect, obviously, but we should want to have a balance in our life, a balance of, yes, Lord, I'm going to serve you, but no, the most important thing is I need to have a daily time. When you look at a tightrope walker, anybody ever do gymnastics? Not me. Okay, you ladies, and you may know what I'm talking about. When you see someone walking a tightrope or on a balance beam and they're walking, how do they stay on that thing? You know, how do they stay so balanced? And the same principles apply to our life, and I'm going to show you how. Number one, when I learned about this, they have to have a strong core. Their stomach has to be strong. I would fail very quickly. But your core has to be strong to keep you up. You know, you just be going back and forth. And the core of our bodies, the core of our spiritual body has to be, is Christ the center, the core of everything you do? You know, when you make a to-do list, whether it be at church or whatever, do you always think about, okay, this is when I go to church, I can't do that then. Is Christ the center of everything you do? Number two, a person on a balance beam doesn't do this, but a person on a tightrope would hold a balancing pole. You know that pole that they would hold like this? I used to think that was just an accessory or decorative thing, you know, with little sparkly things. But it's there for a reason, and I never really knew that. And that balancing pole keeps them, for example, when you walk like this, obviously you have 2 feet, so the mass of your body is spread out evenly, and that's what the pole does. It keeps them, the forces from pulling them over. And our balancing pole is God's word. If you don't have God's word, we all know this to be true. Just forget to read it one day. If you don't have God's word every day, fighting the forces in this world, you know, we're going to fall. We're not going to be balanced. We're going to fall over. And sometimes people think it's the quantity of scripture you read. Obviously, the Bible says to read and to study, but it's the quality. The verse that God has for you, or the chapter that God has for you that day, it's important that every day we have our balancing pole, God's word. That's what Mary was all about. She knew that spending time with him, just like we spend time with God's word, is the only thing, the most important thing. Because if you don't have this, it is all to naught. If you don't have, I've met ladies who in our church, they do this, they do this, they do this, they do this. But I've never seen them go soul winning. I've never seen them talk to anybody about the Lord. I've never truly seen them even at the altar. But they like to do all those things. Sometimes people do it for show. And so I thought about Martha. Did she just want Jesus to know she was in there serving? You know, here's Mary. She's getting all the attention. Have you ever, I've done this. You work on something at the church or at home, and your sweat's dripping, and the guest comes in, and maybe your sister or your friend comes in looking like Cinderella, like a queen. And whoever it is, they say, oh, you did such a good job. And you think, she didn't do a thing. I did it all. I did everything. Can't you see? I did everything. And we do it for recognition. And God said, if you get your recognition here on earth, you'll get none in heaven. So if you're getting man's approval now, you won't get God's. You have to look for the best thing. So our God's word is the most important thing, and that's the balancing pole. And then the most important of the three is stay focused. It has to be something you think about all the time. If you don't start the day every day, and maybe you have your Bible study time in the evening, but if you don't get God's word, the spiritual food that we need in the morning every day, the day, honestly, everything's going to happen. Everything's going to fall apart. Your whole day is going to be confusing because you haven't started with the most important thing. And that's what God was saying in that portion of scripture, the most important thing. A balanced mother will recognize the importance. It's not as much important as having a clean house if your kids need to talk to you. You know, especially when you have teenagers in your home. You know, I read a story where this teenage boy wanted to talk to his mom, and she went in his room, and his room was a total wreck, and he's trying to talk to her, which is very seldom that young men want to talk to their mom. And she's looking around his room and thinking, oh, great day, look at those windows. He did not make his bed. He didn't do this. He didn't do this. And all he's wanting is your time. He's just wanting you to listen to him. And that's off balance. It's important to have a clean house. Listen, I'm on top. In fact, I've got my Windex. I've got a window washing job at my house as soon as I get home next week. I love a clean house, but there's more. You older mothers, do you ever think, if I could do things over again, there's so many things I'd do different? Isn't that the truth? If I could go back and do things a little differently in my home, I would do it. You need to listen to older ladies and ask their advice, because there's things you'd do a little bit differently. And the most important thing, I think back now, what did that even matter on certain things? You know, the most important thing is that your children serve God and that you have that relationship and keep it open so that they'll talk to you. We desire to be holy in a balanced life, desire to be holy, but not holier than thou. Holiness is so very important, but it doesn't mean you're better than somebody, okay? We want to be disciplined, but not demanding. We desire, a balanced person desires a discerning spirit, but not a critical spirit. Women, we all have to work on this all the time. And then the last thing is we want to become steadfast, but not stubborn, obviously. Balance in our body decreases as we get older. Oh, we all know that. In the airplane, pop, 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 your ears start popping. You ever had, what's it called? Thank you. How many of you ever had that? I never even heard of it. Well, I had heard about Jimmy Stewart in a movie years ago called Vertigo, long time ago. But I never knew what it was until one time it happened to me, and literally I had to I was on the floor because everything's just spinning around. And as we get older in our spiritual life, it's hard to stay balanced, a balanced Christian. Because as you get older, some people think because of your age, you can't do very much in the church anymore, and that is not true. My mom, I wish you could meet her. She's almost 80. She'll be 86 in February. And, you know, she worked in our jail ministry faithfully until last year. Every single week she would go to the jail and minister to those ladies. And she'd come, and she, it's so cute because she'd say, I just don't know why she's behind bars. I said, Mother, they're going to tell you, can't believe everything they tell you. I just don't know why they locked her up. And I said, well, Mother, they're not supposed to tell you, number one. But she would believe everything they said, and they loved her. They all called her granny, and later on we'd be going to the out to eat on a Sunday afternoon, and there'd be a little waitress, and she'd say, granny, And they'd start to ask, Mother, who was it? She said, she's from the jail. I met her in jail. They loved her. And she was like eight. When she stopped working in the nursery, in the jail ministry, she was like 84 years old. And they loved her. And so as we get older, sometimes we think we can't do as much. But to me, if you don't, you know, you're going to, number one, you're going to get discouraged. And that's what happens. The devil distracts us with serving sometimes to get us our minds on the wrong track. But I think whether it be in the nursery, maybe you can't do all, you couldn't get on the floor and crawl around with them. But as you get older, there are some, you could rock a baby, you know. You certainly can be a prayer warrior for your pastor. You could send cards. There's so much to do as you get older. But as we get older, we become more insecure. And we feel like we can't, but we can. And then also, write these scriptures down. Psalm 63:1 says, early will I seek thee. Psalm 63:1. Proverbs 8:17. Those that seek me early shall what? Find me. Those that seek me early shall find me. To be balanced, we must seek before we serve. A Martha spirit, a Mary spirit would look at Psalms 23, and the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, and goes through there. But this is what the Martha spirit, if we're not careful. The clock is my dictator. The clock is my dictator, I shall not rest. It makes me lie down only when exhausted. It leads me to deep depression. It hounds my soul. It leads me in circles of frenzy for activity's sake. Even though I run frantically from task to task, I will never get it all done. For my ideal is with me. Deadlines and my need for approval, they drive me. They demand performance from me beyond the limits of my schedule. They anoint my head with migraines. My in-basket overflows. Surely fatigue and time pressure shall follow me all the days of my life. And that is so true. It is so true. I met a lady the other day. We were talking. In fact, I was giving this somewhere else, and she came to me afterwards, and she had, she calls it her daily planner, but I'm telling you this right now, that it was a big notebook, and it was like this thick. And she said, I am a Martha. She had every menu for the next month, and for the whole first section was nothing but her menus and her grocery list. I think being organized is, the Bible talks about being organized. You need to be organized. But I'm telling you what, her organization was organized. Then she had like a Bible study thing, which was very good. But then the thing was this thick, and it helped her. But she had to learn for that not to control her. That's what Mary, and Mary's wisdom, she knew, number one, she was the one, I hope you remember, that anointed Christ's head with oil. She anointed Jesus before before he died on the cross. She was the one that did that, and it cost her a lot. And I thought about when Miss Faith was talking, she's talked about stewing. While Martha was stewing, Mary was resting. She was totally listening to everything Christ said. Because she knew it wouldn't be long. She wouldn't get this time again. And ladies, the Lord is coming back very soon. Very soon. I heard a preacher recently. He said, it's like you had a clock, and the clock was getting ready to strike 12 o'clock, and it was like 1 minute before, and it just stopped right there. That's how close, he said, that it is to the Lord comes back, and I do believe that. We have very little time to serve him the way we should serve him. But we have to remember the most important thing, more than how much we serve him, is that we spend time. And if you spend time with him, you're going to want to serve him. It's not going to be a job. It's going to be like, I can't wait to serve you, Lord, because you spent time with him. He's spoken to your heart through God's word, and you're going to want to do whatever you want to do. It's not going to be a job. It's not going to feel like it's work to you. That's why the ladies, when they did all this, throughout this, it wasn't work to them. It was being a blessing to somebody else. So if you're not having your that's absolutely right. They did. You can tell the work and time they put in, but it wasn't a job. They were being a servant to you. And the time we spend in God's word, letting him speak to us, that's why God said, Mary, Mary, you're too busy with other things. You're cumbered about. You're distracted. We get distracted serving him instead of settling down and being in the Bible with what God says. It's so important, ladies, that you remember as in your Christian walk, it is so important that we serve him. But if we don't listen to him, spend time in God's word as Mary did, they're both right. And if you read on in the story of Mary, Martha learns. Because the next time Jesus comes through, she runs out to him and begins talking to him. Of course, Lazarus is in the picture now. Where he was, I don't know. But, you know, she's wondering, you know, Jesus, where were you when Lazarus died? She's talking to him. Mary's back home. You know, she's still back in the house. So I think Martha learned, and all of us all to be, always be learning. And don't go around to somebody, you're a Martha, I'm a Mary, I'm more spiritual. Well, obviously, number one, if you say that, you're not a Mary. Because Mary wouldn't think that of herself. But we all need to be working on it. It's a work in progress in my life. But if you have Jesus at your core, you have God's word as your balancing pole, and you stay focused. How easy is it in the morning? You have every intention in the world to sit down and read your Bible, and you, if I can just, let me get that one shirt ironed. Let me get something out of the dishwasher. Isn't that true? That is the devil. He gets us distracted because he doesn't want you spending time in the Bible. It happens to me all the time when you have every intention and then you get distracted. So get your focus where it needs to be and then learn and try to be the most balanced Christian you can be. There was a little chorus I had heard. I'm going to sing. I'm just going to do this last thing I'm going to do. Mary sat with Jesus. She wasn't like her sister. Busy Martha did her job with no one to assist her. Jesus said to both of them, "You just faced a test. Martha did the good, but Mary chose the best. There's the good and there's the best. Live by faith, take the test. Pray for help when you're stressed. See the good, but do the best." And this last one is so true, ladies, in our homes. It's good to clean the kitchen. I don't know if it's good, but it's good to clean the kitchen. There's always beds to make. It's good to do the laundry. There's always things to bake. But Jesus wants our hearts and minds. His word is good and true. Put Jesus at the top of everything you do. And that's so true. If you start it with Jesus, if you start it with the relationship and sit at his feet and just listen to him, I believe if Martha had gone in there for just a few minutes and sat and listened to Jesus, he would have said, "Now, ladies, would you like to go and get the meal prepared?" I truly believe that, because the Lord would not have put this in the Bible had he not wanted us to learn something from it. So learn to sit still, be still and know, and then serve. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm so thankful for God's word that you've given us, Lord, that we can learn practical things to be better Christian ladies for you. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd help me in my own life, Lord, to not have a Martha spirit, but have more of a Mary spirit, where I spend one-on-one time with you, where you can speak to me and teach me, and then I can go out and serve you and help other people with what you've taught me. And forgive us, Lord, every day where we get distracted in this world. And God, it seems like now more than ever, we're filled with distractions. The devil has so many things that distract us, and even sometimes good things. But Lord, I pray you to help every lady to be a better mother, a better wife, a better sister, Lord, a better friend, for being here today. In Jesus' name, amen.